I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Listening to the Think Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Hello.
Hello.
Come on over. We're going to have a fun combo.
Are we? Can't guarantee. What? It's fun for us. It might not be fun for them. I mean, we hope.
Of course. Like, no, I said we're going to have, like, we will have a fun conversation.
Oh, yes.
We've already recorded the conversation. We know it was fun.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Shit, don't doubt yourself.
So we're, it is a interview podcast today with...
I mean, I enjoyed it. Potentially old mate didn't.
I very
there.
Much did. It was very good. And it was around the time we were going to the races where we wanted to talk to this particular person. Both of us have been incredibly big advocates of the app that this particular guest works for.
Yes, the head of marketing mm-hmm. of Bumble.
Bumble, the actual app, the real deal. The people that are running the world. They are absolutely, the Bumble team essentially are working on a dating revolution, I think, for women, but have now branched out to a much bigger culture shift. I think they're doing some pretty incredible things. When they started to navigate through the best friend kind of catch-up stuff, and I remember seeing it on the app because at the time I was single and was very active on the app, I thought to myself, these people have it made. They are women creating ways for women, whatever that turns out to be. But you felt that there were chicks running the show.
Absolutely. And we are, of course, talking about the chief brand officer of Bumble, Alex Williamson, who was in the country for a massive activation that Bumble Australia did throughout the Spring Racing Carnival in Melbourne. They were so visible. Whether you were going to the bloody birdcage or you were just scrolling Instagram, there was a real sense of presence around what this brand is, what they're trying to create, and what they will continue to create and invigorate. Because as we know, like, and we speak to Alex about this a fair bit, it's not just the dating side of the app, that there is this real kind of momentum behind them looking at the way things have been done and asking the question, well, why not? Bumble Business, Bumble BFF, Bumble Honey, these are all offshoots of a brand that are doing really bloody well.
Incredible stuff. And if in a short amount of time, we ask Alex about where the brand started, how they operate and work now day to day, what motivates her, what motivates the team, and where they see the future for women and networking and what they want to be a part of.
You can find Alex Williamson on Instagram. You can follow her at WILLIAMSON.
I think I mentioned in the chat, I don't know if it'll make the cut, but she got her own name on an Instagram handle. I mean, she's just, what the hell? Like, you can make, that's her entire handle. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Williamson?
And she changed it because
Williamson?
Yeah, that's her surname, but that's her handle as well.
Oh,
see
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's went through a divorce, so she got that recently.
Oh, God.
I mean, the odds. Who wasn't taking Williamson in the world?
The universe
you're
is
not,
looking
but
out
you
for
her. Don't, you're not giving that any kind of excitement.
I don't know. I'm not that excited.
Okay. Enjoy the chat with Alex. Alex Williamson, welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so glad that you're here. I feel like when you introduce yourself and people say, oh, so Alex, what do you do with yourself or what do you do for work? And you answer with your job title, are people's reactions always the same? And is that, oh, wow?
Well, what do you write on your passport thing? You know, if everyone has to figure out what it is in a very small amount of letters.
I hate doing that. It's so hard.
You know, I typically just write branding on my passport or marketing and keep it very vague. But I'm Bumble's chief brand officer. And I think in the past year, you know, as Bumble has grown, it has been amazing to see the reactions, because 4 years ago when we launched, I would work during the day and then go put on like a Bumble crop top essentially and get out and get people to download Bumble. And being on the, I'll tell you what's really surreal is being on the other side of the world and having the reaction. Like when I checked into the hotel and the woman, the receptionist saw that I worked for Bumble, she got so excited. And that is just a surreal feeling to be a part of building something that people like and respond to and want to be involved in and have stories about. And all of that is really exciting and really humbling.
So let's go, let's think about the it girls, right? So you've got Gossip Girl, like Blake Lively in that time. Obviously, you have kind of the Carrie Bradshaw back in the day.
Right.
And now even in Australia, I suppose it would be someone like Elle Ferguson, or there's like it girls.
She's Bumble, not seems so lovely, the, by the way.
Yeah, she's a stunning person as well, which is kind of annoying, but we adore her.
She is so great, and so is her sister, Lucy from Baby.
Yes, we know Lucy. Yeah, yes, them. She's incredibly talented. She's such a, she's quite divine also. But Bumble seems to be the it girl when it comes to dating apps. It's very clear. And then furthermore from there, it seems to be the it girl in terms of technology and this movement amongst millennial women. How, as somebody that's been so integral to crafting the brand, What are the key, I guess, focuses that you guys have back end to have us all feel like you guys are the it girl?
You know, for us, it's been, we've had a vision since the beginning. And when Whitney came up with the concept of Bumble, she wanted to fix what she saw was broken in dating. And that was the fact that women have to wait for men to make the first move. And if, like, God forbid, at that point 4 years ago, if a woman wanted to reach out first or had a great date and wanted to text the guy, there was a negative connotation to it, right? Women were branded in some ways as, I mean, horrible words being thrown around, that they were desperate or there was something wrong with them for not, like, playing it cool or not being coy. And
In Australia, it's keen bean
or despy, which, you're right, is the worst. We have spoken about this only a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. It's the worst thing possible when you're single and you're dating to be branded with that, because it's the worst.
It feels crap.
Despy. Yeah.
Not only that, why can't a woman go after what she wants, and why can't you be the person who reaches out? And actually, what we're finding and what we found over the past 4 years is that men really like women who are assertive. And I'm generalizing here, but that's the overwhelming response that we've received from our users. And I think it's a good place for good guys to go as well.
I agree. Mm. Using the app and not being a massive fan of apps, and I was single for a very, very, very long time.
It was 5 years. I mean, it wasn't.
Everybody would tell me it was, yes. Like, everyone told me, because I didn't, there was nobody coming home. There was no, he's my guy. It was just a real soul searching time. But a lot of fun dating. But apps, you know, up until the time Bumble came along, I wasn't the biggest fan. And then all of a sudden I felt like there was this energy of different guys that sat on there, because underlying of that very simple and I guess effective way of saying girls message first, there's this kind of filter of men that sign up to being interested in women that want to be that way. And it was,
they're more progressive. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like, okay, now you're talking. Now I can act, because I'm a lot, and I'm a lot of woman, and I'm not ashamed of it. Same. So it was very hard to present that in an app and just almost like not have to explain myself. It was already there. It was already clear using that particular forum.
There seems, I would totally agree with that. As somebody that's on Bumble regularly, I feel like there is a totally different, again, stereotype, but a totally different type of guy that's on Bumble v other dating apps. Was that I suppose, a bit of a fallout or a surprise or a nice thing that's come out of this real simple concept, Alex? And is that some of the feedback that you get from women right around the world?
Yeah, so it is. And I think that, you know, it just gives women an opportunity to go after what they want without feeling shame for it. And for men, it gives them an opportunity to sit back. And, you know, because they, from a man's perspective as well, you're talking about, I mean, constantly having, like, think about you're out at night and you're with the table of your girlfriends. And when a poor, like, guy has to walk up and, like, men start a conversation or hit on one of the girls or whatever the case may be. And if nobody is attracted to that guy, then you're dealing with, you know, that feeling of immediate rejection, and having, you know, men having to peacock and the competition that exists for men. And I think that that breeds a lot of rejection, breeds a lot of aggression and aggressive behavior. And so that the fact that the woman, like, you match, so you know that you're both interested, and then the woman makes the first move. And I think it's the first time for men that they aren't having to overexert themselves to get a woman's attention, and where they can sit back and actually these relationships and these introductions are beginning in a much more respectful place because of it. And so that's where the whole concept comes from. It's easing up a bit and leveling the playing field and giving men and women just the opportunity to meet without, you know, all of the pressure that's placed on them. And I think that the, and for women, you know, it's, it, it also is changing the dynamics in a way and allowing women to go after what they want, but also seeing from that other perspective. And I think it is breeding kinder dating. It's like knowing too how hard it is and how hard it can be to put yourself out there. And I think that that, that really is part of, you know, moving towards equality, which is our overall vision.
You should suggest some of this to the US government, right? This approach. Here, we've got this concept that
just
works.
Just take out the word Bumble just replace it with just like government and just see how you fare.
I feel like a lot of things could really could benefit in other parts of our society from that.
Yeah, we're living in a really crazy and often disheartening time in the US.
It's a weird time. And I think, you know, it's different for you guys living in America, but I think that so breeds to everywhere else in, you know, our Western culture. You know, there's so much of a tone that's set in the US for everywhere else, and it feeds into other areas.
Particularly Australia. We're,
you know,
very
what's
Americanized.
What's interesting is that 4 years ago when we first launched, you keep in mind this is before our current president, this is before the Women's March or the current modern movement that is taking place. This was before Me Too and Time's Up, which is, we're so grateful for all of these movements that are taking place and the fact that women are really banding together and you know, supporting one another. I think that it's helped so much with competition, but the competitive nature that exists between women, which I could go on about, because what we wanted to end since the beginning is misogyny. And that takes place in so many different forms, right? You have like the girl-on-girl competition to us, that's just rooted in the misogynist upbringing that we all exist in, and the aggressive male behavior, the feeling that men, you know, own women or entitled to women in dating. And, you know, all of that, these were all examples of things that, or the women having to be housewives. If you look at what exists and what has existed for centuries, you know, that's what we really are. That's our overall vision. But also we wanted to just make a place where good people can come together, and we build out like a kinder infrastructure on the internet, right? It's creating building out a platform where people are encouraged and are inspired to be the best versions of themselves and to be nice to one another. And, you know, all of that, this has really coincided a lot with a lot of the social issues that are taking place right now, not only in the US, but around the world. And for us, it's just kind of getting back, like we always stay grounded in what we believe in, which is really empowering women and empowering women in a way that creates equality and actually, you know, brings both women and men into the conversation and just allows people to be good humans.
I think there is this really interesting time, and as you say, Alex, you know, what we consume online is our lives. Like it's no longer is it, okay, you have your separate social space and then you have the rest of your life. It is so integrated with our work, with the way that we connect, with the way that we communicate with friends, family, the way that we meet, the way that we date. So it is totally a massive part of our lives. But I suppose there is this dialogue and conversation around this idea that you can be this different kind of person, or that, you know, that the we're more connected than we've ever been, yet also incredibly disconnected, because we get this false sense of connecting with people online, when often it can be, I don't know, just an Instagram like and no more than that. So how do you feel about that?
Connecting with the facade of people as well.
Yeah. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I suppose I sometimes sit in both camps whereby, especially when it comes to the dating thing, I think, you know what, I'd really just like to meet somebody in real life. I don't know. You know, I go through periods where I'm on Bumble a fair bit, and then periods where I'm like, I've just got to get off this for a little bit, because sometimes it's chats go nowhere and I'd prefer to meet somebody in real life. So can you talk to that a little bit?
I would recommend Bumble BFF. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I would recommend cultivating like friendship, you know, part of our platform that is so great for women to connect with one another, build each other up.
Is that where that was kind of born from, this idea that, you know, this is a platform for people to meet each other, to then create actual meaningful connections, to then meet in real life? It's not just this fickle kind of swipe left, swipe right like other dating apps.
Absolutely. I mean, where else are you going to go to talk about your Bumble date matches? I'm joking, that was a joke. No, I think, you know, what's so invaluable is I think that we're always in a place in our lives where we, you know, you can say like, oh, I have enough friends, but really, like, a friend could cancel on you last minute, and that's at no fault of your friend. Life is just busy. And I think that we're all more, you know, entrepreneurial and doing things with our, you know, with our days, and so much of our time is eaten up by life, right? And it's finding new people to hang out with, it's finding new people to get a drink with, it's finding new people to be inspired by. And that's really where BFF came about, is it exists for so many different times of your life, right? Like, women, we go through life changes. Like, some of your best friends could end up in relationships and you're still single and you want somebody to like go have a drink with, or, you know, you're a new mom and maybe none of your friends have kids yet, and who are you going to relate to with like sleep deprivation of being a new mom, you know? I mean, it's giving women the opportunity to really support one another, that we've really loved with BFF. And it's been, actually, we've been on BFF, our team here in Melbourne, and there are so many women using that side of our platform, and it's so exciting to see.
Where have you noticed the BFF thrive across the world? Because I find that idea really interesting, as to which parts of our world, whether it's our country, yours, or somewhere else, that are, I guess, looking for those more meaningful connections. Because you are right, we very much are in a space where, I guess, we're thriving for more conscious, meaningful relationships romantically. But there still is this real understanding that the mates you got when you were in high school is the ones you fight for the whole way through. And so many of us, and so many people are very unfulfilled with their friendships and very, very scared to be flexible and let things go, particularly when it comes to female friendships. Is there a particular part in the world that you've seen this rise, or is it fairly, fairly evenly spread?
It's fairly evenly spread. I think a lot of coastal cities in the U.S. have really responded to BFF. Atlanta has been a huge market for us.
Interesting.
New York, L.A., San Francisco, places where it's very transient and people are constantly moving in and out for jobs. I mean, if you think about it, when you're in university, I mean, you meet friends there, you meet friends in high school, and then you graduate and you move on, and life, it becomes so much more difficult to meet people. And I think going back to, you know, our vision to end misogyny, I mean, women, we're trained to not want to be friends with each other, because we see each other as a either competition for a job or for a relationship. And
on top of that, in Australia, we're also not really supposed to put ourselves out there. Well, you know, it's another thing where it's like, I feel like sometimes when you go to the States, everyone's so just puts it out there, and it's like, this is who I am. Whereas here, it's like way cooler to play it cool. Yeah, you've got to pull it back, and that makes it even harder, I think.
And y'all have this thing called tallest poppy syndrome, right?
Tall poppy syndrome.
Tall poppy
syndrome. Isn't that so hilarious? Because I didn't even realize that tall poppy syndrome was not a term that was used worldwide. Is that not something
never
that you've
never heard of it until?
Oh
well,
my
it doesn't.
God.
It doesn't. You go overseas and you see it not happen. Like, it's so interesting that it is such an Australianism.
I never had any perspective. But I just thought that that was something that everybody around the world knew that term or that kind of behavior.
From a female perspective, tall poppy syndrome is just then this double, you know, this double like issue, because all of those things that you were saying earlier, Alex, then to add on top of that, that you're kind of pegged down for owning your skills, owning your strengths, owning your vulnerabilities and saying, I've moved to a new city. I don't really have that many girlfriends here. And we get this time and time and time again.
How to make friends
after
as an adult.
Six, 7 years. Mm-hmm. What is the thing you want us to talk about? What is the thing you want us to do? What events do you want us to do? Every single time we have girls saying we want events to make friends. It's incredible.
Well, we need to offline about that for sure.
Yeah, for real. Let's have a team up or something.
Yeah, sure. But I can tell you this, and not to impose on Australian social customs and social norms, but my being over here now, because I've been in Sydney and I've been in Melbourne, and I keep hearing about tall poppy syndrome, and I think that there is no better time than now to end that, and I am determined, like, as a brand, to end that for Australian women, because
to help.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
we need
God,
the help.
Because you just...
It's tough.
It is, and it is hard to have that real sense of self-worth and feel positive about your achievements when you're constantly kind of told that you're a wanker if you do.
And by your own, you know, families too. It's like, what do you fucking mean? You lost your job the other day. Yeah. You can't be doing that. You know, it's just constant. And even, you know, in the industry, yeah, and in the industry as a woman in media, particularly, it's been challenging because you try and have that strength essentially before being shown it. You know, there's so many things we've done with the Thinker Girls that we haven't seen examples of because obviously we see it overseas, but we haven't always seen a lot of it right in front of us because there is that fear of failure and that fear of owning who you are, and then on top of that, you know, owning who you are as a woman is a really double bit.
Good on y'all, by the way, for continuing to take risks and to move forward and building out your careers, because I think that the more women who do it, the more normalized it is. Like, we're such big believers that, you know, instead of fighting for a seat at the table, like, build a bigger table, because the more women are successful, the more, I mean, it just, you know, it breeds more for everybody.
But it is that scarcity complex that you spoke to earlier, right? Where it's like, as a chick, and not just in media, not just in dating, not just in work, but there is this idea that there's only one job or only one man or only one, you know, two-girl podcast that has ability to be successful. So you're kind of
Isn't it a
told.
Myth?
It's such a myth. It's such a myth.
Because bloody guess what? Like, we can all just
live
happily, really. There's enough space.
But it, not just happily, it's better. It's better when there's more of us. It's better we help each other and reach out to each other, and there all of a sudden, you know, advertising changes and culture starts to change, and then things open up from that.
Absolutely.
There's demand. And so when there's demand for something, then advertisers come, money comes, and poof, there you go.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Do you know what's been really interesting over the last, you know, year? And you've been at Bumble now for 4 years, Alex. I just feel like, especially in the last 6 to 12 months here in Sydney, Australia particularly, I'm just like, what the fuck? Bumble is everywhere. Like on the back of buses, you know, Bumble Biz. I keep seeing so many targeted, you know, ads on my socials.
Is it everywhere or are we just looking at it? You know when you just notice things?
Yeah, it's like when you sell a car, your car, you see that car everywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We're interested by it. So maybe, is it everywhere?
Well, we've had so much growth in the past year in Australia and we have an incredible team here. Our country lead, Michelle Battersby, has just knocked it out of the park, and she's such an example of a woman who supports other women. That's a big reason why I'm over here, is because we're here to support all of their hard work, and it's been so special to get to watch and watch the response of Australians to Bumble. As I was saying, I mean, just walking around and people knowing it, or you know, we'll go places, we're always wearing Bumble merch, and we'll go places and people will stop and smile and acknowledge Bumble, and it is exciting to see.
It's definitely the cool place to be, though.
It's such a cool word too.
But I know, but I feel like there's been a lot of shame around like dating apps, like in the past, like, and even still now.
Well,
you know,
it's pretty too.
Yeah, like
it's like it feels nicer.
There are other dating apps that I am on, but would I kind of scroll it pretty openly in public? Probably not. But Bumble. I was just like with a mate at the supermarket the other day. She's like, "Lol, are you swiping on Bumble?" I'm like, "Well, yes, I am actually." Like, I don't feel ashamed by it.
How do you go on that considering you're like shocking to write messages? So do you like swipe with a lot of people and then forget to write first?
No, I'm incredibly, incredibly selective of the people that I swipe right on.
Right.
So if
you will invest, you're there to.
So the people that they're few and far between, but they're people that I would absolutely follow through and go on a date with. I don't swipe right and think, "Oh, I might," and then decide later once we've chatted.
Well, I mean, if you're...
Well, back to Alex.
Yeah, back to you. It is
if your match expires, you can always use Bumble Boost and essentially buy back matches. Or see.
Well, I didn't even realize that you could do the shaky thing. The backtrack thing. Amazing.
But you only get a certain few,
yeah,
don't
but
you?
I didn't realize... I was like, "Oh, fuck, this guy's super cute," and blah, blah, blah. And I've accidentally...
Worst feeling ever. Oh,
and I was like, "Yeah, just empty inside." She's like, "Shake your phone. You get 3 a day." I was like, "Oh, my God." It was like such a revelation. I'm like, do these like... I hope they don't expire, because if so, I would have like about 1,000 shakings.
It is the best feeling ever to shake somebody back, actually. It's just like such a grat. It's not really a movement.
In more ways than one. More ways than one, Alex.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not something you commonly do with your phone, and being able to like, you know, kind of move and have somebody reappear on your screen is very gratifying.
Yeah. Shaking back to life.
Especially when you feel like you haven't, it's been a few hours before you've seen somebody that you're into, and then you're like, "Ah!"
Can confirm, did a shake, and guess what? Boom, it was a match.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, isn't that the best when you shake somebody back and then you match with them?
It's so quickly too, an instant. Excellent. You're like, how long have you been waiting there? So, Alex, talk to us about, I suppose it seems like Bumble is like this, I don't know, little force to be reckoned with. And I don't say the word little to be condescending. I mean, just there's this kind of energy that's like this really lovely, how do I explain it? This, when I say little, it's like this little girl dream. You know, there's like this kind of real power behind this feminine energy. I was just in the water with my girlfriend on the weekend, and my husband said to me as I came out and she left, he was like, you and Sky, my friend, you talk like you're 8 years old. You actually do not stop talking over each other, but then you're both forces to be reckoned with. You know, like, she's incredibly intelligent, and the things that we're talking about are like American politics, how we can activate websites, like all these kinds of things. But we're like, blah, blah, blah. I feel like Bumble is that essence. Like there's this real, I know it's a long way to get back to it, but there's this real essence to it that's kind of this real feminine little girl energy, which is flirty and fun, but with power. Yeah, does that make sense?
I'm laughing because I came up with the voice of Bumble, and it just makes me laugh to hear you describe it as a little girl feminine energy. I think that, you know, what we were determined to do is to build out a business in a different way. And there are so many things, a part of misogyny, like you can be a feminist and still be feminine. And I think that the past like 2-3 years have really proven that, but we do want to be able to be single and excited about dating and excited about, you know, like what you wear on a date, and all of that is okay. You know, it doesn't make you any.
But that's what I mean by that little girl energy. And that's why I went to kind of almost correct myself, because I didn't want it to sound like it wasn't powerful. But it's interesting how you then second guess yourself. Mm. But the feeling is that, the feeling of that flirty, dreamy, inspired younger soul that sometimes seems to fade off with the way that we're, I guess,
I would influenced. Actually, and I would argue, and to your point, say that vulnerability and enthusiasm are two of the most powerful qualities that a person can have.
I completely agree with you. I think it's, I might have not explained it as clearly, but that's, I think that energy is powerful. I think, but we
it's go, infectious.
That's right. And when we go and it's sprightly and bubbly and chatty and all these kinds of things that we're told that are almost little girl type, they can't be brought into the boardroom. I think it's actually not the case at all. But I think when you go to explain that energy, when I was saying that little girl feeling,
it doesn't feel powerful.
No, that's why I was like overcompensating to say, I mean that it is. Mm. It is incredibly powerful. But with that sprightly energy, with that power, with that trying to shift the way that we see that and seeing the power in and the courage in vulnerability, as Brené Brown says, what do you guys wish to have over the next 5 years in terms of a shift with your products and on our culture?
It hasn't taken, relatively speaking, I mean, we're at, 41 million users globally, and that's in 4 years. So, I mean, it's people have really responded well to Bumble. But even then, I mean, so back to the energy, the feminine energy behind it. I mean, at that point, we just decided, there were four of us when we launched, and we decided to move forward with a voice that resonated with women, because that's who we were trying to recruit to be a part of the platform. And so it was talking about dating and talking about relationships and talking about being a single woman. And that's really where the energy came from, is that sort of devil may care attitude and sense of humor that came along with our brand. That, you know, it also wasn't something that people were doing at the time, but in order to break through and, you know, create a brand and a platform that people felt safe with, they had to be able to feel and relate to the women who were behind the platform. So we were not.
I love that. You can hear in your voice that, you know, when you say the voice of Bumble, I'm thinking of a woman. Like I can, the way that you describe this voice, it almost is like it's taken on a personality.
It did.
It's
yeah.
its own,
yeah.
which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's got a nice vibe to
thank
it.
Thank you. It's something that from the beginning, that voice was something that was so much fun to really pull from the four of us who were, you know, launching the product and gathering it from our personal experiences. And then as our company has grown, as our brand has grown, as our user base has grown, it's bringing in different voices into the conversation and learning about different women's experiences in relationships and in friendship and in business. And then really, you know, helping build out a voice or multiple voices that people really relate to and identify with and feel like they are seen and heard by our platform.
Yeah, and also, you know, a real safe way to be that flirty and have fun. I think we've lost, you know, it can get pretty intense when it comes to putting yourself out there. But there is a real energy, especially with the events and different things that you do, that we can also have a laugh and enjoy ourselves. And I think
but it can be fun.
Yeah, we miss that a lot.
I mean, can you imagine life without laughter? It'd be like just dating in and of itself, there's so much comedy in it, right? I mean,
Oh my God. Is there ever? Oh, far out.
Yeah. I think you have to be able to laugh at yourself.
It was the launch of my career. Like, that was what my entire lot of radio content was. It was what I, like, had 100% lent on. Because
all your dating stories.
Story after story after story after story after
it's
story.
It's just such an interesting cross-section of people. Like, when else
it's
are
exciting.
You...
It's exciting.
But when else are you meeting and getting to know pretty intimately, pretty quickly, that many people with that many different stories, backgrounds, weird, random, you know, experiences with.
It throws you amongst it.
Oh, doesn't it?
You're amongst it.
Oh, Alex, it's been really super interesting to talk to you. We can follow you personally. Williamson, WILLAMSON.
Incredible that you got that handle. I mean, round of applause for that. Like,
seriously.
Your actual name.
No dots, no underscores, no like 1995 under it.
Yeah, incredible.
Very good.
I actually got that handle. I got divorced earlier this year, and it was sort of this take back my last name feeling that was very empowering for me. So,
and then it was available this year too.
Cool,
yes,
maybe.
Yes. So I really appreciate it.
Wow. The universe really opened up for you. You owned it. And then it was like, not only are you going to own this girl, but you're going to get an Instagram handle with it. Like, this
Sans
is like.
Sans underscore. So it's going to be a fish.
Yes.
Representing the entire Williamson population. Yes.
Of course, you can download the Bumble app. And you know, it's a really great way, as we were saying, for you to take control of the way you want to date, but also potentially if you're looking to make some new mates. So Alex, it's been delightful, really intriguing and insightful and just fun. Thank you so much for having me.
It was so, so fun to talk with you all and such a joy. So I really appreciate it. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
If you want to continue the conversation with us, we are never off our phones. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or perhaps head to the website for a stack of articles, different content, all kinds of interviews at thethinkergirls.com.au. This podcast is presented by Stacey June and Christy Mercer. It's also produced by me, Stacey June, and produced and edited by Jordan Lott.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.